Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden years. I'm Mark Levonier, your host for this hour of horror. Later on, we hear a story from Lights Out, but right now it's Quiet Please, starring Ernest Chappell, a Mutual Broadcasting System episode from November 26th, 1948. The story, My Son John.
Quiet, please. American Broadcasting Company presents Quiet, Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper and which features Ernest Chappell. Quiet, Please for today is called My Son John.
Shakespeare, King Henry IV, Part 1, Act 3, Scene 1. Owen Glendower, the Welsh warrior, says, I can call spirits from the vasty deep. And Hotspur replies to him, Why, so can I, or so can any man. But will they come when you do call? They come when I call. I've tried it only once, though. I don't think I shall try it again. Oh, there's nothing to be afraid. It's still light outside. Sunset was only 2 minutes ago at 4:31. There's nothing to be afraid while there's still light. But later, we'll come to that. It was a year ago last Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, that my son John died. I'm a very lonely man. Some of my contemporaries insist that I'm a very hard man. Perhaps I am. But in my own defense, let me say that my hardness is possibly engendered by the fact that I've been so embittered and lonely for so very long. My wife, whom I love very greatly, died 3 months after my son John was born. For a long time, I lived with my son John alone, except for the necessary servants, medical attendants, and the like. I saw none of my friends. I allowed my business affairs to drift into the hands of my associates. I refused to see my friends. And gradually, my friends fell away from me. I lived for all those years almost a recluse. But my son John was a joy to me. I denied him nothing. He had friends. He loved life. And he lived it to the utmost. When the war came, my son John was much too young for service, a fact that irked him tremendously. And he exacted a promise from me that should the war still be going on, he would enter the service on his 18th birthday. His 18th birthday was 2 years ago. And though my heart was wrung at the thought, I allowed him to enlist in the army, gave him my blessing. I could deny him nothing, not even this. And I hoped hard that he would not be sent overseas. But my hopes came to nothing, for within 8 months he was sent to Austria. And scant 4 months later, my son John was dead. I shall not try to describe to you my grief. It was overpowering. Let me simply say I was inconsolable. I had never forgotten my wife, my beautiful, beloved wife, who had died and left me with a taste of ashes in my mouth. But she had left me my son John as a consolation. Now my son John was dead, and there was nothing left to console me. It's not surprising, I think, that I turned to the occult for relief. There was a woman, let her be nameless, she too is dead now. She was a very wise woman, skilled in things beyond the comprehension of the material world. I sat with her many nights in this very room, speaking to her of my love for my son John and of my unutterable loneliness. And a night came when I said to her, Listen. Listen, I said. Can my son John... Is there a way to call him back to me?
There may be.
I have been treated very unfairly by life, I think. I have been robbed of the only two treasures that life gave to me. First, my wife, now my son.
I have tried to reach into the other world to have your son speak to you through me.
Why haven't you succeeded?
Perhaps you do not believe in me.
Yes, I think I believe.
You must believe completely, or I cannot succeed.
I tell you, I do believe.
Yes. Yes, I think you do.
Well, then...
What?
Then what other reason can there be for not reaching him?
You say you don't know how he died.
No.
That's very strange.
It's not so strange. I don't want to know how he died.
I don't understand. Didn't the government...
I had a letter. It told me that my son died, that they would send me details of his death. When that letter came, I tore it up without opening. I didn't want to know the details.
But you can write and ask them to send the details again. I mean, you can explain.
No, I don't want to know how he died.
There's not much I can do, then. Do you know where he's buried?
No.
I would have to know that, I'm afraid. That can be the only explanation of why I have not been able to reach him.
Isn't there any other way?
It will be easier if you write and find out.
No. No, I will not do that.
Then?
No other way.
There's a way to do anything.
It
is dangerous for one who is not an adept.
What? You're an adept, aren't you?
I am. But you're not.
What do you mean by that? I don't...
You are the only one who can do it.
I can do it?
Yes.
How? How then?
Listen to me. I can teach you. I can teach you to call up your son in a way that will bring him to you.
Teach me then. Now?
You may live to regret it.
No. Teach me how to bring my son back. I'll pay you. I'll make you rich for life.
There's no need for pay. I have my own ways of becoming as rich as I desire.
Then tell me how.
You may bring about your own destruction.
I don't care. Let me have just a little time with my son again, and anything can happen.
I have warned you. Now give me your hand and listen.
Then she began to speak, here in this very room as we sat there at that table. She spoke and her eyes burned into mine, and she told me how to bring my son John back from the grave. And that was a very simple thing to do, so simple that... No, I shall not tell you what it was I must do. It's very dangerous for one who was not adept, she said, and that's the reason why I shall not tell you. I must be alone, she said. I must be alone in a darkened room at midnight. And then I must do certain things and say certain words, place my hands in a certain manner, and wait. I turned out the lights at 5 minutes before midnight. I set my luminous dial watch on the table before me. The room was not completely dark. I hastened to pull down the window shade. And as the hands of the watch met at midnight, I did the thing I was to do, and I said the words she had taught me, and I placed my hands in the position she'd shown me, and I waited. Then I heard a sound at the door, and after a moment I spoke. Come in. Come in.
Hello, Father.
In the dark, in the blessed darkness, my son John's voice. I could not find my own voice for a long time. But John spoke again.
I could prevent her calling me, Father, but when you called, there was no other way.
John?
Yes, Father. I have come home.
I did do it then.
Yes.
And nothing happened. She said it was dangerous.
You haven't seen me yet, Father.
Turn on the light.
No. We'll talk first.
Talk? Oh, John, it's a joy to hear your voice.
I'm not happy about this, Father. You should have left me where I was.
No, John, if you can imagine the loneliness, the terrible...
Yes, I can imagine.
And you're not glad I called you?
No, Father.
I'll see that you're made happy, John. You'll have everything your heart can desire.
How do you know I didn't have everything I wanted before you called me?
Well, I mean, were you happy?
No. No, not happy, but I did have... Now, I don't know.
John, where were you? Where were you, John?
Father, I deserted from the army.
You deserted?
Yes.
Well, If you deserted, it was for a very good...
No, for the life.
But I want to see you.
We'll talk first.
Well, but I really had no intention of deserting at first, Father. I had 2 days' leave, and I went exploring.
Then, were you... I mean, did the guards or...
No. No, I was in a part of the country where I wasn't supposed to be, of course, but everyone was very kind to me.
Well, what...
I was walking along a mountain road early in the evening. I didn't know exactly where I was. Then I saw the lights of a big house a mile or so ahead of me. And I decided to stop there and see if they could put me up for the night.
Did they?
No. Just as I turned into the driveway that led up to the house, a dog came running out from the shrubbery. Before I knew what was happening, I'd been knocked down and the dog was at my throat.
Oh, John, it was horrible.
In the morning, I woke up lying by the side of the road. I was pretty weak. I tried to call out, hoping somebody in the house would come out and help me, but I couldn't see the house.
The thing had dragged you away.
And after a while, I felt strong enough to stand up, and I staggered down the road. And a couple of Russian soldiers in a jeep picked me up, and somehow or other, I got back to where I was stationed.
My poor boy. But now, John...
And I died 2 days later. And then I woke up in the house. Big house I'd seen when the dog attacked me. And I was lying on a couch, and the dog... It wasn't a dog, Father. It was a wolf. The wolf was sitting alongside me, talking to me. So I stayed there all the time, except at night, until you called me.
John, weren't you... I mean, didn't you...
Didn't they tell you in the letter, Father, that my body disappeared?
I didn't read the letter.
You should have. Perhaps you wouldn't have done this then. Because now I can't be dead. Unless...
Unless?
Well, there's a way. But you wouldn't...
Something I can do, you mean?
Yes.
Tell me, John. Tell me so that I mean, if there's something that I might do inadvertently, something I might do without thinking, I'd want to know so I wouldn't do it.
No, Father, this is something you can't do inadvertently.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yes, I'm sure.
Do you want to tell me more? So we can... It's been so long, John. We can do so many things together. Shall I turn on the light now? Have you got used to being back?
We'll have to turn them on eventually, won't we?
Why, of course, I can't see you in the dark.
I can see you.
You can?
You haven't changed much.
I'm thinner.
I've changed.
I suppose you have, but... Will you turn on the light, John? I can't get up, you see. The shock of your death, you know. I had a little stroke.
I'm sorry about that.
But now you're back, maybe it'll be better. Oh, John, it's so good you're back again. Turn on the light. Please?
Well, shut your eyes. You can open them after I've turned on the light, when I tell you.
All right.
Keep them closed. Now, open them.
I opened my eyes, and I didn't believe what I saw. For my son John was not in the room with me. But a great, light gray wolf stood beside my chair, stared at me curiously with the eyes of my son John. I can call spirits from the vasty deep, I said to myself over and over again. I can call spirits. She warned me against it, I said to myself. She warned me, and I did it. My son John, I thought. My son John. And I spoke the words aloud. My son John. And the wolf came over to me and laid a paw on my knee and spoke to me.
I'm sorry, Father. I told you I wished you hadn't done it.
Are you John?
Of course I am.
Won't I ever see you as you were?
No, never.
Oh.
You see, Father, she told you how to do it. I had pity on you. I wouldn't come when she called me because I was afraid of just this. I heard her talking to me, but I didn't answer. Because I wanted to spare you this, Father.
I'm...
I'm glad I did it. Oh, John, welcome home, no matter what shape you're in.
You see, Father, there's a catch in everything. Most of the things you've heard about, superstitions, old beliefs, all that, most of them are true. But what people don't know is that there's always a catch. It's much better not to meddle, Father.
I'm not sorry, John.
It would be much better if you hadn't done it, Father.
I love my son, John.
I loved you a great deal, Father. I loved you enough to make myself stay where I was until you made me come here.
What can I do for you, John?
Nothing, Father.
There must be something. You are alive, aren't you?
Well,
I mean, would you like something to eat, perhaps?
No, not anything.
Well,
I came as a wolf because I was more used to being a wolf than anything else.
You mean you can...
Yes. I can change myself into almost anything. That's one of the things he taught me. A bird, or a bat, or a cat, or...
He? Who is he?
Well, you've heard of him.
No.
Most people think that Bram Stoker invented him, that he's fiction. But he isn't.
Bram Stoker, that name is familiar.
Of course. He wrote a book once. A book called Dracula. You see, Father, we exist. There are thousands of us on the earth. More than anybody has any idea. And we're all alike. We're not alive, and we're not dead. And there are more and more of us every year. Because when someone dies, I mean when one of us finally kills a person, that person becomes one of us too.
John.
And it's not bad, Father. It's not bad at all. Did you ever hunt? Well, we hunt. We hunt the greatest game of all, mankind. Ah, I can tell you.
John.
Yes, Father?
John, now that you're here, here in New York, I mean, will you... I mean, will you hunt here, too?
How else can I exist, Father?
Oh, John, no.
I'm sorry, Father, but that's the way it is.
What have I done?
You had plenty of warning.
Then go back where you came from.
No, I can't. I'll be with you forever, Father, until you die.
No.
She warned you, remember?
Well, won't you change yourself into your own shape then, at least?
That's the one shape I can't assume. It's one of the catches I told you about. Oh, I'm sorry, Father, but even if I could, I don't think you'd want to see me. Before you put this spell on me, I could assume my own shape whenever I wanted to. And I remember, people didn't like it.
Oh, John.
They screamed and ran. But I always caught them.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Father. You brought it on yourself. If you'd let well enough alone, I'd never have bothered you. I'd have stayed there with Dracula. Well, that's the way it is.
But, John,
I'm sorry, Father. I've got to leave you for a while.
Where are you going?
Why, I'm going hunting.
John. No. No!
Sorry, Father. I'll be back. I'll always come back, Father, so don't worry about me.
And before my eyes, the lean gray wolf vanished. And I heard a fluttering sound. And a huge black bat was flying out the open door. I endured my son John in numb horror for so long. I grew accustomed to finding a black dog snoring away all day long in that corner over there and lazily waking up as darkness began to fall. I learned not to disturb the sparrow that slumbered through the daylight hours on the top of the bookcase there. Sometimes he was that same gray wolf lying there under the window from sunrise to sunset, growling a little in his sleep, yawning widely as he awoke, his red mouth and cruel long fangs gleaming in the lamplight. Oh, my son John was very discreet. It was a long time before I began to notice in the papers the stories of lonely people about the city and suburbs being attacked by a ferocious great gray dog or clawed by a huge tomcat. But the stories appeared from time to time, and I knew. My son John spent less and less time with me in the nighttime, although he was always there asleep during the day. And slowly, a conviction grew within me. A conviction that I, the bereaved father. I, with the best intentions of a disordered mind, I was responsible for these murderous attacks. For had I not summoned back to my side this ravening horror that was my son, John? I called on her, and the wise woman who had taught me the spell came to see me. The gray wolf was asleep beside the radiator, twitching and growling from time to time when she came in.
I expected you to call me long before this.
I was trying to decide, to prove something.
Well, did you succeed?
Yes, I succeeded.
Your son came back?
Yes.
Where is he?
There, on the floor asleep.
Oh? I see.
You warned me.
Yes, I warned you.
Do you know what he is?
Yes, of course, a vampire.
He says he can't be killed.
So?
You've been reading about the attacks on defenseless people.
I know about them, yes.
What can I do?
He says he cannot die.
He said that. Oh, he said there was a way, but I wouldn't do it.
Don't you know the way?
Of course not.
Did you ever read Dracula?
No.
I see. Well, probably you wouldn't do it.
What is it?
Your own son, whom you loved.
Tell me. No. You do it.
Not I. I gave you the spell. I can protect myself against vampires. I have nothing to fear.
But these other people, the ones...
I'm not concerned with them. But you are.
Oh, I've done a terrible thing. Tell me what to do.
Do you think you can do it?
I will do it.
You will drive a wooden stake through his heart while he is asleep?
Oh, John, my son. And in his sleep, the great gaunt wolf that was my son John stirred uneasily and muttered through his dreams as she went away from there. I wheeled myself over to the bookcase. Surely I remembered a copy of Dracula there. And after a while, I found it, sat down to read it, to find out how to kill a vampire. I found it. I read the details of what the good doctor and his friend did to the sleeping vampire in her coffin. I sat a long time staring at my son, John, until he stirred and I hastily put away the book and wheeled myself back to my desk as he awoke. He wagged his tail as he stretched and got up. He went to the door. Hunting again, I said. And hunting again, he said, and he went away. Then I got to the telephone, and I called up a man I know. And after a while, he brought me, not without wonderment, a hatchet, and a heavy butcher knife, and a great sack of garlic. And I sent him away, and lay down to wait till dawn, till my son John should appear again, and lie down to his last sleep. But it was only 3 o'clock in the morning when I heard the patter of feet in the hallway, and in a moment the door opened quietly, and a little white Celium romped in and jumped up on my bed. My son John was home early.
Well, Father?
Yes, son?
I wasn't asleep this afternoon.
What?
I heard what she told you to do. I watched you go to the bookcase and get that book and read it.
John.
You were reading How to Kill Me.
Well, John, I...
Well, you remember she said she knew how to protect herself against vampires.
Yes.
She didn't.
John, what?
She won't bother me anymore.
What did you do?
I killed her.
Oh, no.
I was a lion, and I clawed her, and I bit her. Now she's one of us. And she's sorry she told you how to kill me. Aren't you, dear?
Of course, darling.
And I looked, and a tiny white cat sat on the foot of my bed, washing her face demurely with an elegant paw. And I reached for my son's throat, and the little cat sprang at me with a wild yell. But my son John pushed her away. He sat there for a moment, laughing at me. And then he settled down beside me. And he said, Father. And I listened, and listened, and listened. And once in a while, she put in a word, too. And as the night wore on with John's stories of the greatest of all hunts in my ears, and the thoughts of never dying unless... And John seemed to read my thoughts. For he jumped off the bed and trotted to the place where I'd hidden the knife and the hatchet and the other things. And then in a minute, a great tall gorilla came back in my room with the things, and he laughed, opened the window with his great hands, and threw them out. And then he turned around to me and did something. And he was a little psyllium again. He jumped up on the bed beside me. And he whispered in my ear.
Come on, Father. What about it?
And I said, well, at least I'll be with my son forever and ever. And it sounds like a better life than sitting in a wheelchair and feeling guilty. And I said, do you feel guilty, son John?
Not at all.
Do you?
Of course not.
Well then, will it hurt much? It hurt for a moment when I felt those sharp little teeth in my throat, but it was over very quickly, and I thought, I ought to be a dog, too. And I felt something funny. She and John laughed, and there I was, a big, slavering Great Dane. And I said, why, this isn't bad at all, is it? And we laughed and laughed and laughed. Because now I've got my son John back. Then we'll be together forever. But really forever. And I've discovered that hunting is really fine. Maybe my son John and I'll come hunting you some night.
The title of today's Quiet Please story was My Son John. It was written and directed by Willis Cooper. The man who spoke to you was Ernest Chappell.
And Warren Stevens played John. The woman was Kathleen Cordell. Music for Quiet Please, as usual, is played by Albert Berman. Now for a word about next week, here is our writer-director, Willis Cooper.
Thank you for listening to Quiet Please. For next week, I have a story for you called Very Unimportant Person.
And so, until next week at the same time, I am quietly yours, Ernest Chappell.
And now, a listening reminder. Three signet rings are the clues left in the mysterious disappearance of three men. You can learn what happened when David Harding Counterspy investigates the case of the three-ring murder this evening on your ABC station. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Quiet Please on Tuned to Yesterday from November 26, 1948 on ABC. The story penned by Willis Cooper is a twist on what was actually a scam for families who had sons or daughters who were killed in action during the Second World War overseas, and the problem only escalated as the war went on with a post-war crackdown by the FBI on phony mediums. You're listening to An Hour of Horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now it's time for Lights Out with Arch Obler's story, The Ball, from March 9, 1943, on CBS.
This is Arch Obler bringing you another in our series of Stories of the Unusual. And once again, we caution you, these Lights Out stories are definitely not for the timid soul. So we tell you calmly and very sincerely, if you frighten easily, turn off your radio now.
Say la place, missus.
Hmm? What did he say, Paul?
That we're here.
Oh.
Well, should we get out?
Yeah.
Come on.
Shoving.
We'll get there.
Who's shoving?
Comment et... How much?
10 francs.
Okay. Here you are.
Merci, monsieur. Merci.
Well, I sure got to hand it to you, Paul. You sling that French right around, don't you?
Took 2 years of it in school. Vive la France.
Yeah. Oui, oui. Hiya, Tut.
Oh, boy, what a time.
How you gonna keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris? Oh, how
hey,
you gonna keep
them? Pipe down. It's almost midnight.
Oh, anything goes in Paris. I hope.
Come on, let's go in. It's the right address, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it is. And the card says 505 Rue de la Poupe or something.
Okay, let's climb.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it sure looks like a joint. Don't be naive. I bet you it'll be about as exciting as a junior prom.
Ah, quit singing the blues. I tell you, this'll be the real stuff. French artists and their models and things and stuff.
Say, you must have got the wrong number. Look at the place, no lights.
And it's pretty dark, isn't it?
Listen, fella, if there's an artist shindig going on in there, then I'm a left-handed monkey. Come on, let's get back to the hotel.
No, I'm going to find that artist ball if I have to tear the town apart. Where's the doorbell?
Listen, I tell you, there's nothing going on in there.
That's what you say. Oh, here's the knob. Now, let's see what... Hey, the knob pulls.
Oh, now you did it. Wake up some old Napoleon this time of night and he'll scalp you.
Listen, I paid that bozo 6 bits for this ticket. I'm going to find out what's what.
End up in the Bastille, that's what you'll do.
Yeah, well, if they want to... Paul, it is a party. Listen to them.
I'll be...
Entree, monsieur.
Say well, entree. Come on, Paul.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, no artist ball, huh? So now you're a left-handed monkey, remember?
Sure had me fooled.
This way, monsieur, s'il vous plaît.
Right with you, lady.
If monsieur would be seated.
Well, can't we go right in? We've got tickets.
Yes. Soon you would go in. You would wait.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Yeah,
it sounded like quite a party.
Yeah, and you thought it was the baloney.
Our house looked it.
Well, you can't tell a good banana from the skin on the grape.
Not so good, pal.
Well, this party's gonna be.
You hope.
Oh, well, this be something to write home about.
If we ever get in the joint. See, now I think I'm beginning to understand all this.
Huh?
It's a clip joint, that's what it is.
Clip joint?
Yeah, the way I've suspected all along. A sucker joint for tourists.
Keep it up. You're terrific.
Go on, laugh. But I'm telling you that if this was a real artist ball, why, in we'd go without all this stalling. It's all a fake, and I'm getting out.
Hey, Paul, wait.
No, let me go. I'm getting out of here. And if you have any sense, you'll get out, too.
Oh, Paul.
Before they slip you a Mickey Finn and clean you out.
Monsieur.
Huh?
Oh. You may go in now, monsieur.
Oh, yeah, sure.
This way, monsieur.
Well, Pickle Puss Paul, my friend, you got any more to say?
Well, I still think there's something screwy.
In here, monsieur.
Okay. Paul, are you or aren't you going to have something to tell your grandchildren when they ask you about Paris?
Oh, I'll stay.
Is this something?
Gosh.
Would you look at the films? Boy, oh boy.
See, everybody's in costume.
So what? I'm in costume, too. I got on a clean shirt. Gosh, will you get a load of the screwy masks they're wearing?
Yeah, I see them.
Sure wearing plenty for French models, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, well, evening's young yet.
That's funny.
You what?
They're not dancing.
Oh, well, they're taking time out, I guess.
Yeah, but where is it?
What?
The orchestra. There's no orchestra.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, well, maybe they're hidden behind palms or something. Anyway, what's the diff? They may be masked, but fella, I know honeys when I see them.
But this is supposed to be a dance, so why don't they dance?
There you are. Boy, are you guessing wrong tonight.
But where's the organ?
Will you cut it out? Who cares where the organ is? Paris, artists, models, mammy.
Dancing. You look at them.
Come on, let's cut out a couple of fillies and do a big apple.
Yeah, but look at the way they're dancing.
Huh?
I never saw a dance like that.
Yeah. Me neither.
They sort of glide.
Yeah.
Jerry.
What?
It's funny. No one's talking now.
Yeah. They sure take their dancing serious.
And the music.
It sure is funny music for an artist ball.
Did you say this was going to be a wild party?
Oh, well, they look like artists.
Don't act like them.
No. Sure is funny music.
Let's beat it.
No.
Huh?
I want to find out what this is all about. men and women dancing so quiet, funny music.
Let's go, Jerry.
No, I want some answers first. I want to know why...
Monsieur, you would like to dance?
No, not me.
And you, monsieur, you would dance?
Well, yeah, but...
It would be as you wish. As you wish.
Well, no, wait. What kind of a ball is this? These people, what kind of music... Hey, old lady, come on back here.
Come on, Jerry, let's get out of here.
What are you talking about? I paid dough for this ticket. I'm going to get one dance out of it.
Jerry, don't be a fool.
And don't you be a lily. What's there to be scared about? This is Paris, fella. Anything goes. Hey, look, there comes the old lady with my dancing partner. Boy, oh boy, will you look at that chassis.
Monsieur, this young lady, she will dance with you.
Swell. Well, Paul... Here I go. You're a good dancer, aren't you? Gosh, I suppose you don't speak English, do you?
I understand you, monsieur.
You do?
Oui.
Say, that's swell. Oh, lady, I've got more things to ask you than a psych professor doing an IQ on Einstein.
Whimsy?
Well, I mean, this goofy music. And why doesn't anybody talk? And when are you going to take off your mask?
Midnight.
Midnight? Gosh, that's not far off, is it?
Not far off.
Say, how about slipping your mask up a little and letting me have a sort of a, you know, a preview?
No.
Okay, I was just asking, that's all. You sure couldn't big apple to this music, could you?
There is still time for you to go.
What?
There is still time for you to go.
Go? Well, why should I go? Gosh, I'm just starting to enjoy myself.
I can give you only one warning.
Warning? Warning of what?
You are very young.
Yeah? Well, I'm old enough to know all the answers. And if you don't think so, suppose then you and me...
One warning I can give you. And it has been given.
Listen, if you're trying to warn me that this is a clip joint, well, I'm not worried. All my dough's in traveler's checks anyway. So, somebody wants to steal my pants? Okay. It's a two-pants suit anyway. Hey, look. Well, can you tie that? It's my pal. He's dancing, too. Hi, Paul. How you doing?
All right, I think.
What do you mean, you think?
Well, my partner won't talk.
Well, maybe she doesn't like your line.
No one here speaks English, I guess.
Mine does. Don't you, beautiful?
Jerry. After this dance, what do you say we go?
Well, you listen to that, beautiful. Me with you in my arms and he wants to go.
Jerry, listen.
No, you listen to me. Beautiful here tells me she's gonna unmask at midnight. That's only a couple of minutes, too. So, fella, I'm staying. I've got an idea that behind this goofy mask, beautiful here's got a face that's gonna take my heart and turn it inside out and put it together again. Say, come to think of it, beautiful, what is your name?
I have warned you. And now you will go. Too late.
Too late? What are you talking about? It's 12. Come on now, beautiful, unmask.
No.
What do you mean, no? Hey, look, everyone stopped dancing. Yeah, everyone's gonna unmask. And that includes you, lady.
No.
All right, then. I'll take your mask off myself.
No, monsieur.
Come on.
No,
da,
no,
da.
No,
mustn't be
no,
so shy. No. Take it up. Hey, the lights. They went out. How do you like that? Oh, no, beautiful. Oh, I don't think you're going to get away from me. Oh, I learned this arm lock from a professional. Yeah, kind of nice standing here in the dark, close like this. Isn't it beautiful? Pretty tricky of this dance committee, turning the lights off just at the minute when the masks are supposed to come off. Yep, pretty tricky. Well, haven't you got anything to say? I mean, even if it is dark, we could sort of make conversation now, couldn't we? Oh, come on now, beautiful. Well, haven't you read that book on how to win and influence friends? You gotta give, you know, conversationally. Now, look. You ask me if I'm always this fresh with strangers, I'll ask you where you've been all my life, and before you know it, we'll be pals. Oh, gee, I'll bet you're a honey. I just know you are. You know, a fella kind of knows when the girl he's with's a honey. Gosh, everybody's keeping quiet. Is that part of the entertainment? Standing around in the dark? Well, it's okay by me. But I sure would like to get that mask of yours off and really see what you look like.
Hey, how about some lights? Lights, lights!
A candle, monsieur.
Huh? Candle? Oh, thanks. Yeah, thanks. Now, listen, beautiful. You stand right there while I light this thing. Got a match someplace here. Yeah, here. Well, it's pretty nice, whoever it was, handing me a candle. Now, wasn't it beautiful? Must have guessed how anxious I was to see you. There we are. That's a nice way. Now, you stand right like that while I take off this thing you got over your head. Gosh, it sure is a goofy mask. It's fastened on so tight. Well, now it's loose. Now, stand still, beautiful. In a minute, I'm going to be congratulating myself on what a swell picker I am. There we are. Off it comes. Oh!
You haven't got any head. No head. She doesn't have a head. Thing without a head. No.
Jerry. Jerry, where are you? Jerry.
What? Who's calling? What?
Jerry.
Paul. Oh, Paul.
Where have you been? What happened? I've been calling.
Oh, wait. Don't come any closer. It's just standing there.
Jerry, what's happened? What's the matter with you?
There. Standing right there. I dropped the candle. It's so dark, but she must be standing there, Paul.
Jerry, for Pete's sake. Jerry.
I saw it. I saw it.
Saw what? For Pete's sake, there's no one here.
But she...
I tell you, there's no one here. The whole hall's empty. Jerry, open your eyes. You're standing there with your hands over your eyes for. Look, I tell you. See, there's no one here. The lights went on again, and everyone was gone.
What? I thought...
Well, the devil with what you thought. Come on, let's get out of here. We should have gotten out a long time ago.
Yes, we'll go, won't we?
Come on. Don't act like you're sleepwalking. Come on.
Paul, listen, she didn't have...
The devil with what she had or didn't have. We're getting out of here before those maniacs get back.
Maniacs?
Yes, I said maniacs. Some kind of a goofy bunch we walked in on. I knew they were screwy right from the start. Come on, let's get out.
Paul, didn't you see that...
What could I see? The lights went out. Everyone beat it. Here, I think this is the door.
The door. Can't open it.
We've got to get out. We've got to.
Yeah, we've
got
to get out.
Now, let me at that door.
Let me at it. No, get away, Paul. Quit banging your fists on it. We've got to break it down.
Okay, come on. Okay. It's locked. Got to get out.
Did it. Now we'll get out.
Get out where, monsieur?
That old woman.
Old woman, tell us how to get out of this place.
Yeah, we got to get out. You hear me? Out.
Out? Yes. There is a way out.
Well, don't stand there talking about it.
Show us. We want to get out of here.
S'il vous plaît, monsieur. There is no need for such excitement. Just listen to me.
Listen, but who wants to listen? We want to get out of here. You hear me? Out.
No, Paul, wait. We're getting out. Let's find out what this is all about.
I don't want to know what it's all about. I just want to get out.
Now, listen. We've got to know what it's all about. Don't you understand? If we don't, we'll always think that maybe... Well, I tell you, I've got to know.
And I will tell you. Yes, I will tell you. Once a year, they meet here.
They? Who? What sort of people are they?
They meet and they dance. A miserable dance. A dance without joy, without meaning. Yet a dance of hope.
Come on, Jerry, let's be
it. Be quiet, will you? Go on, old woman.
A dance of such weariness. And yet I say it. A dance of hope.
Hope? Of what?
Hope of deliverance. Hope of freedom from misery without end.
What's she talking about?
Oh, woman, what are you talking about? I saw a woman without a head. Did I see it?
Did you see it?
Push her out of the way, Jerry. Let's get out of here.
No, wait, Paul. Now, I think I understand all this. It's all a gag, an initiation of some kind. Yeah, that's it, old woman, isn't it? It's a club, and these are all kinds of tricks to get in, aren't they? Trick mirrors and lights going out and all the rest of it.
It's all a joke, an initiation, isn't it, old woman?
One hope. A hope that one of you will blunder among them and give one of them deliverance.
Oh, woman, stop talking in riddles, will you? This is all some kind of a ceremony, an initiation, isn't it? Answer me, isn't it?
Yes, one like you, to give his head so that one of them can have their rest.
Jerry, come on, I tell you, I can't stand that woman, Jerry. Wait, Paul. Oh, woman, you... Is that something about heads? What did you mean by that? What?
Listen.
What in the...
You heard, monsieur. You heard. La guillotine.
Jerry, what's she talking about?
Oh, woman, what do you mean?
La guillotine, la guillotine. It took their heads, yes. We... One day, they were alive like you, lived and breathed and had the world. And then La Guillotine was born. They took them in the tumbrils across the stony streets. The crowds were shouting. They took them one by one and fed them into her hungry mouth. The knife went up, up, up. A moment more of life, and then down it came. It struck, and their heads rolled into the baskets.
What's she talking about? What's she talking about?
Oh, woman, that girl I danced with. You mean...
She and all the rest that danced tonight. La guillotine took their heads and lives. Many weary years ago. Dead. Dead. All of them dead.
No, you crazy fool. You, the dead don't dance.
But the victims of La Guillotine dance. Aye. They dance one night each year, as here you saw them. Dance. Dance.
No. No, it can't be true. It can't be. She's crazy. Crazy.
One hope of rest. One hope, I tell you, that one of you shall blunder in to give his head for theirs. One hope that one of you will headless take their place and let one of them...
I won't listen anymore.
...eternal rest.
Jerry, make her stop. You're crazy, old woman. You're crazy and trying to make us crazy, too. Come on, Paul.
Stop. Stop, I tell you. Look behind you.
Behind...
Jerry, there's people there.
Yeah.
It grows lighter. See them?
Mother in heaven. All of them without heads. Without heads. Polly can't keep me here. Things without heads. I'll get out. Out of my way, old woman. The door. Things without heads. You won't get me.
Paul. Paul, you've left me here with them. You. Oh, you shouldn't have done that, Paul. Left me here with them.
Ah, monsieur. Your friend, he has not gone far. Listen.
What?
Listen. So, La Guillotine, she has been fed.
Fed? Guillotine? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Paul? Paul? Where are you, Paul?
Listen. See? Your friend is well.
Paul. Oh, Paul, you're all right. You're all right. Paul, why do you stand there in the shadows? Paul, why do you stand there like that?
Paul, come closer.
Yes, he will come closer.
Paul, what's the matter? Why don't you answer me? Paul, what have they done to you? Paul, what... Paul...
head. Paul, you haven't got a head. Oh, no, no, stay back, headless thing. Headless things, all of you. I'll get through you. I'll get away. You won't do that to me. Not me.
Let me through. Let me through. The guillotine won't get me.
I'll get through. I'll live. You won't give me to the guillotine. Not me. To the door. I'll get out. I'll live. I'll live. I'm free of you. You things, you, I'm free. I got away. I got away. Guillotine won't get me. I'll live. I'll live. Headless thing won't get me.
Look out. Look out. He ran right into the car. Right into it.
Went down those steps and right into the tunnel. Like a madman.
Merci, you must stand back. Give him air. Stand back.
Oh, no. C'est pas le pire. Il est mort. Regardez. Oh, c'est horrible.
Ah, his head cut off as clean as if it had been done by la guillotine herself.
Lights Out, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 9th, 1943 on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levionier. It's been a pleasure.